it going, buddy?
It's going. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Got anything new, interesting you want to share? Nothing?
Yeah, I just got done making some cool shit, actually. It sent to me yesterday, the finished product of my new merch that just came out.
Nice.
Yeah, and so it's like this little sexy anime girl. I don't know.
Of course.
I showed you, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know. I'm actually pretty excited because it was like I've made a couple of things and then put it on there, but like I've never had something that was like, I guess, professional done like that before, and it just, I don't know. I think it's pretty kick-ass.
Nice. So, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to. And I saw something on Facebook. Do you want to share your news?
Yes. So I've been moved on to the next phase of the contest that we talked about.
Yeah.
September 21st, voting starts. So vote for me, fuckers, because
I will.
I want to win.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you just go on, you vote for whoever you want to win, and as far as I know, it's going to be based off of whoever gets the most votes.
Yeah, so we should totally put the link in the description for the voting stuff.
Yes, I will definitely do that, and then when it gets closer, I will post it again.
On our Facebook page.
On the Facebook page for everybody to see, and when it gets closer, I'll make sure to post the link again in our whatever current episode is right before.
Yeah, and I'll probably, what I could do is I could put it on Twitch and I could do it live too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that'd so be that awesome. Way we that'd can get awesome. Some live voters for you. That'd I think be cool. That'd be pretty kick-ass.
That would be. One of the other kids, one of the kids in our haunted house, he has also put in for it.
He entered into the contest?
Yes. We call him Glitter.
Glitter joined in.
He joined on the competition. So he's going to vote for me, and I'm going to vote for him, of course. Because you can't vote for yourself.
That's dumb.
Right.
Every vote counts.
But I will vote for him. And he said he's going to do so likewise for me.
Oh, that's good, though.
So that's cool. That we still get to vote, but...
At least it's somebody you know, too, so that's good.
Yep, so it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it.
That's just here in a few weeks. Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, that must be exciting.
I'm very excited. I don't know how long the voting's going to be open for. Probably
like a week.
Who knows, yeah.
Yeah.
Could be a week, 2 weeks. I'm not sure. When the voting opens, then I'll know more. But yeah, that's... really cool news that came about. Also, so last week we had Piggle Stick.
Yeah.
On the show. him and I went on a bike ride this last weekend.
Ooh, where'd you guys go?
So we started out at our house. And then we went to... Our first night we stayed in Squim, which is like 30 minutes away from Port Angeles. I should have loaded up pictures. Maybe I'll throw them up later. But we stayed in a yurt. Really cool. There's a generator outside to run for power.
Oh, shit.
Had a fire pit outside and stuff. It was a really cool place. I'd definitely stay there again. And it had one of those retro Nintendos in it. So we stayed up to like midnight playing Punch Out.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a blast. Then the next day we went from where we were staying in Squim to Port Angeles. Hung out there for a couple hours looking around and stuff. Then we left there and rode down the coast, Highway 101, down to Ocean Shores.
Ooh, Ocean Shores, that's pretty nice.
I'd never been there before, it was my first time. Really cool, I enjoyed it. Definitely be going back.
Yeah.
We've went to this really cool arcade that had mini golf, and it had those little bumper boats. And,
oh, hell yeah. That's what's
and
up.
And it had, like, this laser maze.
Oh, was it laser tag?
No, no. Laser maze. So you're in this room.
Okay.
And there's places on the wall where you're supposed to, like, put your hand and stuff. And they're different. They change colors or whatever. And then there's lasers from the walls that shoot out. And it's like Mission Impossible type shit. Like, you gotta, like,
oh, you gotta
snake
fucking
your way through, around the lasers to get to the side. Yep.
That's fucking sick. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then, so then we stayed the night there in Ocean Shores. We left the next morning. And we made a couple of haunted stops.
Ooh.
On our way back. Yeah. One of them was in Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, Washington.
Yep. I'm just pulling up the picture so I can give you the right name of it. It is called Billy's Bar and Grill.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Good food. Good food. We had breakfast there. I'll be doing a story on it later, but it was allegedly haunted. The serial killer, Billy. I don't know his attachment to that building exactly off the top of my head. But it was a really cool place. Actually, if I should still have it saved on my phone from when I did the Google search. I just found this site. It said, take a haunted road trip around Western Washington. So it has a couple different locations. And Billy's Bar and Grill in Aberdeen was one of them. Says, head to the hometown of Kurt Cobain and have dinner at one of Washington's most haunted restaurants. This short 56-minute drive will put you at the bar and grill, which was named after Billy Goal, who was the secretary of the Sailors Union back in the day. The tale goes that Billy would befriend sailors and then brutally murder them. It is said that if you look behind the bar and see a man mean mugging at you, after a double take, he'll be gone again.
Jesus.
Yep. So we did that. That was cool.
Did you see anything?
No, we didn't see anything. But it was still cool, you know. And then we went to this other place in Centralia, Washington, that's called the Olympic Club Hotel. In the description here, it says, all right, so if you're really looking for a haunted experience, I hope you stayed the night at the open oceanfront resort. Grab your coffee and the aux cord and make your 2.5-hour drive to the Olympic Club Hotel in Centralia. The McMenon, I can't even pronounce the name, sorry.
McMenon?
Yeah, something like that. Group owns now owns this historic hotel and saloon. The hotel was the scene of several murders, and both employees and guests have spotted entities in almost every part of the place. There is also rumors of voices being heard in vacant rooms.
Ooh, that's creepy.
We stopped there. We had a few drinks. We sat in this booth. The lady, the hostess, told us, or waitress, what I always get them like cross. Anyways, she told us that we were sitting in the Al Capone booth. I never knew that he came this far west. I'm gonna look it up for sure, but that's what she said. And it was during the Prohibition era, so in the booth was like a little button to push that would like flicker the lights, or turn the, if you pushed it, it would shut the light off or something, you know, you could flash the lights.
Okay.
Warning people that the cops are coming.
Oh shit,
so you
that's
could,
cool.
So you could hide the booth. Really cool place. Before we left, I'd asked her, I was like, so, I heard this place is haunted. And she was like, yes, it is. She goes, lights have been known to flicker.
Except the button.
The button's been disconnected.
No. Oh.
I pushed the button several times because I wanted to see. And that people have heard stuff, like people walking down the hallways or whatever up at the hotel. And I'd asked her if she had ever physically seen anything herself. She said no, but other people have. I was like, okay, cool. So it's definitely a place I want to go back to check out. And I definitely want to maybe rent one of the rooms.
Like an EMF reader and shit like that?
Yes.
That'd be really sick. I think we should do it.
Yeah. And so this website, I haven't saved, has a bunch of different places in Washington that are haunted.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like a little road trip. So you got Oxford Saloon in Snohomish. Point Defiance Park in Tacoma. Which, hopefully you don't get shot while you're there. I
mean, no shit.
Tacoma. Bigelow House Museum in Olympia.
Did you say Gigolo House?
Bigelow.
Oh. I'm just...
Lighthouse Oceanfront Resort in Long Beach. The Olympic Club Hotel Centralia. Black Diamond Cemetery in Black Diamond, Washington.
I've heard of that one.
And that's the last one on the list. So, it's, you know, got 6 or 7 different places. They're all over on that side of the mountain. So,
yeah.
At some point, we're going to do a road trip and we're going to go check them out.
Fuck yeah, I think that'd be sick.
So, it's going to be awesome.
Hell yeah.
So there's that.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun on the ride. Longest I'd been on a bike in a while.
Oh shit, yeah.
Or longest trip I've been on in a while. So.
It's been a minute, huh?
Yeah, it has. But it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. Boy, there's some new horror movies out. Like, Netflix and stuff.
Oh?
Yeah. Well, okay, so for one, I know we mentioned it last episode, where we talked about the new Predator movie, Prey.
Saw it.
On Hulu. Okay, what'd you think?
Come on. Okay.
Just,
I've
read good and bad reviews about it. I've seen it already.
Okay.
Okay. You're not going to ruin anything for me. Sorry if you guys haven't seen it. It's been out for a couple weeks now.
I personally, I gave it like an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I thought it was good.
Okay.
There was a lot of moments, because Nick and I watched it together.
All right.
And so when we were watching it, there was a lot of moments in that movie where I was like, oh, that was fucking cool. Like,
yes, there was a lot of really cool kills and stuff.
Really cool kills, like, fuck.
What did you think of the Predator's design?
New. I was like, that's not the Predator. I was like, first thing. But Nick and I started talking about it, and he was like, what if it's like a pre-evolved version of Predator, like before they...
Exactly. If you've dug into it and read about it at all, which I've done a little bit of reading into it because I was curious about it. I liked the way it looked and everything, but I was like...
It looked different.
They got rid of like the plasma cannon and stuff.
Metal helmet.
They did that to basically kind of what you guys are saying, de-evolve it a little bit. So,
yeah, and then,
you know, just like we as the human race, our technology and everything has grown and changed, and how we do things has changed, theirs as well. And so that's kind of where that came from.
So,
and to make him, they gave him the mask that they did to also help him fit into
the time period. Yeah, and see, that was 1700-something?
Yeah, like 1750 or something. Yeah. Like that. Did you notice the pistol?
I did.
At the end.
The fucking... Oh, my God. I thought the funniest...
Did you notice what it's from?
No.
So, those who enjoy the Predator movies would probably have recognized it from Predator 2. When, at the very end, and I've drawn a blank on the actor's name. I really like him. He's a good actor from the 80s and 90s. When he beat the Predators and everything, and, or the Predator, and the other Predators showed up to carry off the body, the head predator gave him a token, basically. Like
here, you win.
You won. Here's your prize kind of thing. And it was that gun.
Oh, shit.
Because it's engraved. Yep.
I didn't even... Oh my god, that's fucking cool.
So, the fact that the Predator has that gun in Predator 2, but she has that gun in Prey, makes me believe that there's going to be another bout with her and a Predator.
Of her losing the gun, you think?
Yep.
Well, because she won.
She did.
And
but
at
that
the...
gun wasn't from a Predator that was given to her. She took it from...
Yeah, but if you... Did you watch... I don't know how far into the credits you got into.
I did not watch the end credits scene. I am kicking myself. I'm going to watch it tonight, actually. Because I want to see... I've read something about it. And so I'm really curious about it. Because what I read says that it's going to hopefully tie Aliens in as well. So.
Well, no, I just meant, like, even the fucking, like, while the credits are rolling and it's showing pictures and stuff like that, like, on the background of the credits.
We watched some of that, yeah. But it was late and bit.
True, but if you watch towards, like, the end, you could see, like, the drawings were depicting of more fucking ships coming in, and, like, they were celebrating, the girl was celebrating with her... all of her shit and everything like that, and then the Predator ships come in, and like, and that's where, yeah, but I think if they do it, I want to see an upgraded version of Predator, just slightly, or maybe
if,
like,
it's in the same time period, I could see them not updating too much.
Well, not too much, but
I mean
like,
obviously they're gonna have to change to keep it interesting, you know, I mean. But I love the fact that they went away from the traditional helmet.
And it was like a skull almost.
Yes. Well, they were... The way I understood it from what I read, was that that skull was a trophy skull.
Of one of his kills?
Yep.
Okay.
And so, as opposed to carrying the trophy around on him, he is wearing it.
Well, I remember... do you remember from Predators... So, where it showed, was it AVP or was it Predators that showed the Mayan temple of, like, all the aliens running up it and them fighting?
Alien versus Predator.
That was AVP?
Yep.
So, I would love to see more time period fucking Predator movies.
So, originally, like, if they did the comics, there was so many battles. There used to be a comic book line, if I remember right, it was done by Dark Horse back in the early to late 90s, called Aliens vs. Predator. It had the aliens, it had the predators, it also had the Colonial Marines in it. And they were just basically going world to world.
Oh, like, shit.
Yep.
See, what's cool about what they did, though, is that, like, it was a throwback to Predator 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because... in Predator 2, if you remember correctly, Predator doesn't kill females. Pregnant females or young children.
Correct. He does not kill young children or...
pregnant.
Women in general.
Or is it women in general?
Yes, because if you remember, there was the Colombian drug lord scene.
Oh, yeah.
There was that girl he didn't kill. The other one was pregnant. She had a gun, and he was going to kill her, but then he saw that she was pregnant. That's why he... If she wasn't pregnant, he probably would have killed her.
Yeah, because in the movie, and because Nick and I were talking, and he was all like, fuck, he could have just killed her right there. And I was like, he doesn't kill women. Like, and that's...
If they're not a threat, yeah.
Yeah, because if you look in the movie, when he's, like, scanning people, he scans the person, and then he scans around the person to see if they can find a weapon. Like, because, uh-huh. Yeah, it's like this little orange dot that, like, goes over the weapon
and
like...
Yep. Because if they don't... If they're not a threat...
Do you think he would have killed her if he gotten the chance at the end?
Yeah.
Do you think he still would have killed her, though?
Yeah, I think he would have.
Because
just because she started to prove herself as a threat.
As a warrior.
A warrior, yeah.
Because, like, what is the whole point of them coming to different...
Just game hunting. Just like,
so is it a challenge or is it like
a rites of passage?
That okay, that's the word I was looking for.
If you remember Aliens vs. Predator, when he killed his first alien, the one Predator did, he took the finger off and he used the blood and he etched that symbol into his helmet. That was kind of symbolic of that.
Okay.
And then after she killed her first alien, he did the same thing to her cheek, if you remember.
Right. I do remember that, and he gave her a weapon made out of the alien.
Out of the alien's head is a shield, and the tail is a...
as a fucking sword thing? Yeah.
Yeah. So...
yeah, that was fucking
really
sick.
Good. Loved it. I can't wait to see what more they do.
I hope that
I've
maybe...
I've heard that they're talking about making another one already.
Do you think that they would introduce more of the alien? Because, I mean, they've already gone into the history of aliens. Like...
kind of have.
They've kind of flip-flopped in between certain...
I know. It drives me fucking nuts if you look at the aliens timeline.
Well, and not even just the aliens timeline, but then there's so many different versions of alien, like, that
which
they
is
made.
Fine.
Which, but that's not
because
bad.
It has something to do with, like, the host.
Yeah, but, like, the fucking, what was it, like, the first one? The fucking, albino alien? The albino xenomorphs? You don't remember that one?
You're not talking Alien, you're talking,
that one was,
the prequel.
Yeah, but it still counts.
Right. No. I'm just making sure that we're talking...
We're on the prequel,
okay,
yeah.
Because you said Alien, and that's the title of the original, the very first movie that was made.
Yeah.
If you're looking in chronological order, then, yeah, it's what was that, Prometheus?
It's Prometheus, yeah.
So, yeah, that... my problem with that is that's like set in the future, okay?
But it's a prequel.
But it, yeah, all the Alien movies are set in the future, right? This is where my issue comes up with the whole timeline, is in Alien vs. Predator, they showed that the aliens have been on Earth and the Predators have hunted them every 100 years.
They're just on Earth already?
Yeah, they had a queen alien there, and when things were triggered just right, she would wake up, lay a couple eggs, put her back to sleep, and then, you know.
I don't remember that. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, though.
I just watched them not that long ago, so it's a little fresher in my mind.
Okay, fair.
But that's my problem, is that they depict it as this battle between the aliens and predators have gone on for a long time ago, long time, but then you go and look at just the Alien movies, the Alien franchise itself, with Prometheus, the sequel to that, I think there's, what, 2 or 3 prequel movies before the actual movies?
Yeah.
So, they depict it as it's long in the future, this android is who fucking
created them
and stuff, so it kind of throws the whole fucking timeline off. Like, what the fuck? How can that happen in the future, and yet still, Alien vs. Predator shows that they've been fighting,
I don't know,
forever and ever. What's before that? You know,
what's that saying again?
Or even Predator 2, there was an alien skull on the ship in the trophy case.
Wasn't that depicting like?
Yes.
The next movie was going to be AVP.
Yeah, it was depicting that at some point they were going to. Yeah.
See.
But, and so that's my problem, is that those all predate...
in, like, the 80s.
Well, not even just, like, when it was recorded, but if you look at chronological order, predate the Alien franchise.
But what if it's, like, one of those in a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away kind of thing where, like, maybe it's in the future, but, like, a different...
timeline?
A different timeline.
Okay, I can
maybe different area where maybe it's more of a pre-evolved universe. Because they could explain it. If they really wanted to, they could be like,
they should.
The multiverse theory is true.
Okay.
And that's why there's all these different...
I could take that. I could buy that.
I could accept that, but if they don't explain it...
But they need to explain that. I want them to come out... like, there's fan theories, of course. There's fan theories about everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's great. But the companies themselves, I feel, need to come out and directly say this or that. And maybe they have, and I haven't seen the article. I don't know. I don't read everything that comes out, you know?
No.
So that is a possibility, but that is one of the things that's always kind of irked me a little bit.
Yeah, I get that. I understand.
And just like, sorry, I'm stuck on the whole...
No, you're good.
Alien,
you're good.
Chronological order. Just like in Alien 3, they brought in Bishop Wayland.
Yeah.
Right? And so, in Alien 2, they had Bishop the Android, who was modeled after Bishop Wayland. So Alien 2 and Alien 3 are really close together as far as time. Whereas yeah. Alien and Aliens, there was like a 50-60 year gap, right? So, but Alien 2 and Alien 3, or Aliens and Alien 3, sorry, the guy who directed it, wrote it, and everything really does not like it being called Alien 2. It's Aliens. I just watched a thing on it.
Oh, okay.
A documentary, so... There's like, all kinds of shit going on up there. Like, but anyways, they introduced Bishop Wayland in Alien 3.
Yeah.
Well, then, in Alien vs. Predator, he was there.
Doesn't make any sense.
And he died. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they need to really...
So it's like, how does that timeline... Because Alien 3 is like fucking 1,000 years or so in the future. Like... I get it, you know, if you believe in reincarnation and stuff like that, and like every so often somebody will be reborn and look exactly, but the odds of that person being reborn with the exact features into the same family, pretty slim to none, I would think.
Pretty, yeah.
So that's my problem with that.
That's fair.
That part.
No, I get it. It's... They need to just fix that shit and just get it over and done with. Explain yes. to the fans, damn it.
Yeah, and maybe they did, like I said, and I just haven't seen it.
That's fair. I got some new news on the game that I play.
Okay.
Dead by Daylight. There's two things I want to talk about.
Okay.
One, they came out with the new Resident Evil chapter. It's still beta right now, but mm-hmm. it's about to come out. And it's called the W Project. It's another Resident Evil
okay.
franchise. Or not franchise, but a chapter. And they brought in characters like the killer, which is Wesker. They brought him in. They brought Ada Wong in. And they brought, I think, Claire.
Oh.
Claire Redfield. Claire. Nice. But, so that. And there is a... theory for chapter 26 that I am absolutely excited for. Absolutely, okay. 100% hands down ready. So, there's this guy on Twitter who, his Twitter name is DBD Leaks. All his shit accurate to a T every time that he, oh, so this is what was leaked out, blah, 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 ends up being true usually.
Okay.
Or his theories usually end up being true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, this next chapter is, the next chapter's killer, I should say, is called The Knight, as in K-N-I-G-H-T. So, like a knight in armor.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's a licensed chapter. Which...
Okay.
People have been speculating... Because, and his coding stuff that he talked about, it's going to come out with one killer and one survivor.
Okay.
The theory about it is that it's the Black Knight from Scooby-Doo. And they're going to bring in Shaggy Rogers as the next survivor.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. That is
Dude,
the big theory.
That's going to be awesome. But...
Because if you look up, like... night horror or anything like that, one of the first thing that popped up is
Scooby-Doo's
yeah. Black Knight.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's going to be really interesting because then they can bring in the whole fucking Scooby gang except minus Scooby. But
maybe.
I don't know. How the...
depends on how they want to roll with it, yeah.
I don't know how the hell they bring in Scooby in the game, but...
I don't know. They can figure it out, though.
But I thought that was pretty cool, and that's... No one's going to find out about that until, I think, around, like, October-ish. So that's whether or not time. That's true, yeah.
That's awesome. That's exciting. I can't wait to see what happens there.
But
I have watched a couple other horror movies, too, as well. Have you seen The Black Phone?
I've seen trailers for it.
Okay. So it's got Ethan Hawke in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're pretty well familiar with that name.
Yeah, I was named after that motherfucker.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
He plays the killer. Really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to check that
out.
It
has to do with kidnapped kids and, yeah.
The trailer was really, really good, so I'll probably watch that this weekend.
It's good.
Yeah.
It is good.
What is it on? Is it on Hulu? Netflix?
I don't remember if it's what it's on exactly.
If anything, I can just...
We might have rented it off of Amazon.
I'll just do that if I have to.
We also rented off of Amazon Studio 666.
Oh?
That has... I want to say Foo Fighters, but that might be wrong.
It's a band?
Yeah. David Grohl. I think is his name.
Is that the Foo Fighters?
I'm drawing a fucking blank right now. Yeah. I'm all over the place on that. I can't. I'm going to look it up, though.
Okay.
Really good kills. The story was kind of eh. But the kills were good. Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl. Okay.
Legendary rock band Foo Fighters move into an Encino mansion steeped in grisly rock and roll history to record their much-anticipated 10th album. It's labeled as a comedy horror.
I like those.
And there's some good comedy in it. A lot of horror.
I'll have to check that out.
It kind of reminds me of the Evil Dead movies.
Oh, okay.
As far as like...
Comedy horror?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I'm down.
Like the blood is just like... This one,
excessive.
One guy gets his head cut off and the blood's just excessive. It's like, whoosh, you know, like Evil Dead style. So it was really cool. Good movie. Check it out.
Oh, check it. Yeah.
I think it was like a 99-cent rental on Amazon.
Bet. I'll fucking rent it.
It's worth the 99 cents.
It's worth the buck. I understand.
If anybody's questioning it, it is worth it.
Okay. You have convinced me.
I mean... Even if it was $5, it would be worth the $5 rental.
That's
honestly
fair.
And then just last night, we watched the new Jamie Foxx movie on Netflix.
Jamie Foxx movie.
Yeah.
Is that the vampire one with Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
Dude.
And what's his name is also in it too.
I can't think of his name
either. The comedian.
Yeah, yep.
Fuck. But.
Good movie.
I tagged you in that a couple months ago.
But it just came out.
It just came out.
Fuck, that's why
yes.
I haven't watched it until now. It just came out. Just came out this last Friday.
It's the Franco, with the Franco brother.
James Franco.
No, not
James Franco. That's
Dave Franco.
Dave. It's called Night Shift. Or, mm-hmm. No, Day Shift, sorry. It's called Day Shift. Really good.
It looks so funny.
It is. It's hilarious. It's got some serious undertones and stuff. Some good kills again. A different take that I've seen for vampires. Very interesting. Not in a bad way at all. Like, I want to see more. Like, I would love to see, like, a spinoff.
Okay.
Like, another movie.
Like a TV show, maybe?
Either a TV show or just even a sequel. They could name it Night Shift or whatever.
Day Shift, Night Shift.
Yeah.
Swing.
Right?
Yeah,
but
a
really good.
Movie.
It was interesting seeing Snoop Dogg wear a cowboy hat. I'm sure you saw it in the trailers.
Yep.
It's interesting. And it's just weird because I'm not used to that. You know, none of us really are. But that's the character. But his character kind of reminded me of Crichton Duke from Jason Goes to Hell.
Okay.
Kind of that kind of like badassery kind of.
This is kind of foreshadowing the movie a little bit. Okay. So, I'm down. See, those are
cool. The movie is not focused around Snoop Dogg's character, just so you know.
It's focused around Jamie Foxx's, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Snoop Dogg's character is kind of like in and he's out. You know,
he's just like a supporting role kind of thing.
Yeah, he's got a really badass supporting role. But yeah, really good.
Okay, I'll check that out this weekend. I
thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm down, because I've been wanting to see that movie ever since I saw the fucking trailer.
Right, right. I saw the trailer, and I was like, God, I want to see that. And then when I looked it up, it was like, it's not out yet. And then just like the other day, it popped up saying, oh, it's out today. And I'm like, this was when we were on our bike rides. I'm like, oh, shit, I got to wait till I get home.
You're like, God damn it.
So, really good, though. That's what's rather like. Enjoyed it.
Hell yeah. I got a lot of movies to catch up this weekend. Shit. Didn't we have like a special thing that we were gonna?
All right, so this week's horror fact of the week, we're gonna be talking about the movie Maximum Overdrive. It is the only movie Stephen King has ever directed. Many directors have adapted Stephen King's work, for better or worse. Famously, he hates the Stanley Kubrick's adaptation of The Shining. Maximum Overdrive, though, is the first and only time King has adapted himself. He even says in the film's trailer that, I just want someone to do Stephen King right. The music in the trailer, though, the trailer for Maximum Overdrive is almost as entertaining and silly as the movie itself. Stephen King is the front and center, standing out in front of the Green Goblin truck, promising to scare the hell out of us. But to the avid horror fan, the music playing over the scene may sound familiar. It is the same music from Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, appropriate as Halloween 3 is another 80s horror bomb that has been reevaluated in the years since. Through thought to a greater effect than Maximum Overdrive. Stephen King convinced AC/DC to do the soundtrack for the movie. Stephen King is a huge fan of rock and roll, so he wanted to bring that into his directorial debut. Specifically, he wanted legendary rock band AC/DC to provide the soundtrack. The band were wary at first, but King convinced them by singing their song, Ain't No Fun Waiting Around to Be a Millionaire, in its entirety to them. Their next album, Who Made Who, became the film's soundtrack. Ironically, it was better received than the movie itself, with hits like Hell's Bells and Shook Me All Night Long.
See, that is pretty kick-ass. I didn't know that he actually directed a movie. Like, I didn't know that he did that.
That was his one and only.
His one and only. His one and done. All right. So that's pretty cool. Fucking yeah. AC/DC. That's what's up.
The fact that he sang their own song to them to convince them how much he liked them and wanted them in as a soundtrack.
Can you just imagine? Like,
especially, I don't know if he can sing or not, but just imagine if he can't. Yeah, it's all like high-pitched, squeaky, squealy. And he's doing his best to, like, do it justice. And it's just coming out horrible. And they're just like, just stop. We'll do the movie.
Just stop.
We'll do the soundtrack. Just stop singing.
Never, ever do that again.
Just ever. Fucking... We need you to sign this waiver saying you're never going to do that again.
And here's a restraining order. Email now.
Right?
Oh, shit. That's pretty cool.
So, really cool stuff.
I didn't know that. Learning something new every time on here,
I swear. That's what I try to do. Bring something new.
I love it.
Speaking of new stuff.
I got my lunchbox.
I got me a lunchbox.
My shoes tied tight.
Actually, my brother-in-law, George.
Were you looking for his name on your mugs?
It's got different pictures.
Oh.
It's got different pictures on either side of it.
I thought you were like looking for a name.
No. It's got different pictures. It's Creature from the Black Lagoon, my all-time favorite. The side's got pictures. I believe there's a quote on there on the bottom.
I don't know.
Said by one of the main characters. The quote is, "I can tell you something about this place. The boys around here call it the Black Lagoon, a paradise. Only they say nobody has ever came back to prove it."
Nobody likes paradise.
The creature does.
Yeah, because they didn't leave them alone. I know. Get the fuck out of my lawn, right? Basically. Get out of my lake. Get out of my lagoon. Yeah, you little kids, goobers.
What are you doing on my grass?
What are you doing on my swamp? Is it my swamp?
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
Shit, good stuff, man.
Oh, God.
So I have one story for you.
I got two.
You have two. Okay.
I helped you today, motherfucker.
Yeah, but I'm sure my one is bigger than your two.
Okay.
Giggity.
Jesus.
How do you want to do this? You want to tell one of yours, and I'll tell mine, then you can tell yours. We'll do a story sandwich.
I like sandwiches.
I know you do.
Yep.
Shows.
All right, let's go. Let's get this shit rolling. So do I have the weirdest shit?
You seem to find the weirdest shit. I don't know. It's like you're on the black web or some shit. The dark web.
That's probably why I have so much viruses. That and the porn.
Yeah, I'm starting to think it's because of the weird fucking stories you find more than the porn you look up. I don't know.
Well,
it's
when you try to look for fucking
the toilet fucking monster, like, Jesus fuck.
Sucking your soul from your ass. Yeah, I know. Dragging your asshole down to hell.
Or,
yeah.
Or the lady you can hide in cracks.
What's up, motherfucker? Crack lady versus baby mirror.
Baby mirror's gonna win, I'm telling you.
Oh, God.
Or your Pope lick.
I know. I do the weird shit. That's what I like to do. But this one is more real life and documented.
Oh, all right.
And this one, you ever heard of spontaneous human combustion?
Yes.
So, for those of you
who watched The X-Files, like, come on.
Yep.
They've done an episode on it. So has Unsolved Mysteries.
Yep, exactly.
So it's a well-known thing.
So, for those of you who don't know, spontaneous human combustion describes reported cases of the burning of a living human body without without an apparent external source of ignition. There have been about 200 cited cases worldwide over a period of around 300 years. It is argued that the spontaneous human combustion can be caused by an individual's behavior and habits, such as alcohol consumption, inner mechanisms of the body, or even acts of God or sorcery. Gruesome photos are perpetuating to show spontaneous human combustion often feature a large pile of gray ash from which a pair of legs protrude, while nearby objects appear untouched by the inferno. Accounts often feature tales of blue flames emerging from. On July 2nd, 1951, at about 8 a.m., Reeser's landlady, Pansy Carpenter, arrived at Reeser's door with a telegram. Trying the door, she found the metal doorknob to be uncomfortably warm to the touch and called the police. Reeser's remains, which were largely ashes, were found among the remains of a chair in which she had been sitting. Only part of her left foot, which was wearing a slipper, and her backbone remained, along with her skull, plastic household objects at a distance from the seat of a fire were softened and had lost their shapes. Reeser's skull had survived and was found among the ashes, but shrunken, sometimes with added descriptive flourish of to the size of a teacup. The extent of this shrinkage was enough to be remarked on by official investigators and was not an illusion caused by the removal of all the facial features, ears, nose, lips, etc. The shrinking of the skull is not a regular feature of alleged cases of SHC. Although the shrunken skull claim has become a regular feature of anecdotal accounts of other SHC's cases and numerous apocryphal stories. However, this is not the only case in which the remains featured a shrunken skull. On July 7, 1951, St. Petersburg Police Chief J.R. Reichert sent a box of evidence from the scene to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. He included glass fragments found in the ashes, six small objects thought to be teeth, quote, a section of the carpet, and the surviving shoe. Even though the body was almost totally cremated, requiring very high temperatures, the room in which it occurred showed little evidence of the fire. Reichert included a note saying, "We request any information or theories that could explain how a human body could be so destroyed and the fire confined to such a small area and so little damage done to the structure of the building and the furniture in the room not even scorched or damaged by smoke." The FBI eventually declared that Reeser had been incinerated by a wick effect, as she was a known user of sleeping pills. They hypothesized that she had fallen unconscious while smoking on a set fire to her nightclothes. Once the body starts to burn, the FBI wrote in its report, there is enough fat and other inflammable substances to permit varying amounts of destruction to take place. Sometimes this destruction, by burning, will proceed to a degree which results in almost complete combustion of the body. And that's it. Isn't that, like, fucking insane, though? Like, I think that's crazy.
That is crazy, man. Holy cow. Just the whole thing of... of just combustion like that. That's just intriguing.
You wouldn't think that to ever see that in your life ever happen.
You would.
You wouldn't even think that'd be possible. Like, oh no! Just like, how the fuck does that happen? It looks like fucking.
It's like their version of hulking out. They get all mad. They're like, ah, and then just.
Just puff the magic dragon. Just fucking came down. Man,
maybe you should have stayed a little calmer.
Chill the fuck out.
I'm taking your house, though.
Ooh, that's a nice watch. That's
weird stuff, man.
Yeah, but isn't that fucking... I think that's crazy.
It is. Are you ready to get terrified, though?
I'm ready to get spoopy. Let's do it.
All right. Well, I'm fairly certain that you have not heard of this one.
What is it?
We're going to be talking about the Beast of Bladenboro.
I thought you were going to say the Beast of Javanol.
No. Beast of Bladenboro.
Okay.
The story behind the vampire beast terrorizing Bladenboro is a long and strange one. Between footprints, animal corpses, and eyewitness sightings, it's clear that there is some sort of mysterious beast in the area, and no one is really sure what it is. Mysterious animal deaths still crop up in the area from time to time, leading some to believe the beast may still be on the loose. There are a few myths about vampires in the United States, and this one is certainly memorable. Whether you yourself have spotted the cryptid, or whether you just enjoy the legends, it's interesting to ponder what's lurking out there in the woods and why gruesome mysteries like this remain unsolved. The very first sighting of the beast happened back in 1953. On the evening of December 29th, a woman heard her neighbor's dogs causing a fuss outside at night. They're barking and whimpering as if in fear, and she went out to check to see what the matter was. To her surprise, she reportedly found a large cat-like creature that she thought was a mix between a lion and a bear. It slunk away into the darkness before she could get a decent look at it, however, leaving her reasonably shaken from the experience. But that wasn't all. In some accounts of the incident, the dogs did more than just bark. The creature came prowling back and ended up killing both dogs in a horrifying manner. Later on, there would be more sightings and more killings. But it was on that day that the beast of Bladenboro was born. There was one chilling factor that set the beast apart from an average bear or wild dog. It seemed fixated on blood. When dogs and livestock began turning up dead, local authorities found that the animals had been drained of blood with only few drops left in the corpses. While some of the victimized animals were horrifically mutilated, some bodies were found simply with bites and broken bones and were flattened. One witness even recalls that it seemed that the strange animal was drinking blood from one of the dogs it had killed. Newspapers, as you might guess, latched onto the notion that there was a bloodsucker about and began describing the beast as vampiric. This also gave rise to the notion that the beast might be something supernatural or mutated, as few animals in the world particularly feed off of solely blood. While this mystified and sensationalized the beast, it also frightened people, and they soon decided the beast had to be caught. While the beast took down livestock, including goats, pigs, and perhaps even horses, its preferred prey tended to be dogs, leading to further speculation that the vampire might be more cat-like than wolf-like, as cats are notorious enemies of dogs. After the first sighting in December, the beast reemerged and went on a rampage. On New Year's Eve, 1953, Woody Storm found two of his dogs gruesomely killed on his property. Both had obviously been brought down by something large, as they were not exactly small dogs and had been drained of all their blood. Over the next few days, reports came in across the county, all reporting that the dogs had been killed by some massive cat or bear or monster. The animals sometimes tore the dogs apart, drained their blood, or just dragged them off into the woods. A few of the poor animals were not found until later, dead and mutilated in the woods. But why did the beast particularly target dogs? Nothing's ever been proven. The other telltale sign that the beast had been at work was that the bodies of its victims were found terribly mutilated, and not just a slashed stomach either. The beast had decapitated its victims, or at the very least, smashed their skulls to the point of flattening them. Many of the bodies later found in the woods were completely missing their heads. And one rabbit was found completely decapitated, but still warm, as if the creature had snapped off its head in one bite before fleeing. The dogs back to the point of being... dogs were often found with their lower jaws torn completely off, or smashed back to the point of being unrecognizable. This indicated that the creature was strong, and it cast serious doubt on later suggestions that the animal was merely a bobcat or a stray hound. Another thing many witnesses reported is that the beast of Bladenboro made an absolutely chilling sound. While many accounts differ in the size and color of the beast, most agreed that its call sounded partially human in an unearthly way and truly unnerving. Some described it as the sound of a baby crying in pain somewhere outside. Others said it was like a woman screaming as if she had been stabbed or had been hurt. Some people even reported seeing the animal open its jaws to make the sound, so it was not the noise of one of its unfortunate canine victims dying. No matter how it was described, pretty much everyone agreed that the beast's call was positively but blood-curdling. While the beast definitely seemed to prefer canine prey, it did once try to attack a human. On the evening of January 5th, 1954, Mrs. C.E. Kinslaw was in her home when she heard something strange sounds outside. The dog sounded like they were whimpering, and when she went out to see what the matter was, there, she saw a massive, cat-like creature approaching her dogs, and it quickly turned its eyes on her. The beast rushed after her as if to attack her, and she screamed before running inside for help from her husband. Apparently frightened by her screams, the beast slunk back into the woods. The beast never attacked another human, seemingly to prefer dogs and livestock. However, the incident made the papers, especially noting that there had been tracks left outside. It proved the beast was real and that it could be dangerous to people. After the mysterious and gruesome deaths of so many local animals, people who lived in Buddenborough decided it was time to take matters into their own hands and go after the beast. In January of 1954, a massive group began to comb the forests and swamps trying to find the mysterious creature. The hunt got so big, in fact, that big game hunters came from miles away and across state lines just for a shot at tracking down the creature. Of course, given the rough terrain in the area, it was difficult to track the beast, and even more difficult to catch it. And after a long while had passed, the mayor called off the hunt. But not before a tantalizing moment of near success. One man caught a wild cat in a trap, and newspapers circulated images saying that the beast had been caught. Not only do experts agree the animal was far too small, but there were also more killings after the wild cat had been killed. It is incredibly unlikely that this cat was actually the fabled beast. As to what the beast is, nobody is sure, but there are plenty of other theories. The most obvious one is that the animal is some sort of mountain lion, also called a catamount or a cougar. But blood-sucking doesn't exactly fit in the case of a cougar. But some experts have speculated that perhaps the animal lapped up the blood after crunching on the bones and bodies, rather than actually sucking it out. Along those lines, a bobcat has also been suggested, even if most people agree that they are not big or strong enough to fit the beast's characteristics. Another theory says that the beast is actually a large dog that was raised by a local before escaping. That was supposedly truly massive. Some others have even said that it is simply a bear that people mistook for being cat-like in the dark. The beast of Buddenborough seems to grow bigger and more frightening with each retelling of the legend. The beast was spotted on the outskirts of the town of Buddenborough, North Carolina, which is located nearly an hour from any other cities and boasts a population of less than 2,000 people. In fact, one of the town's only real claims to fame is the legendary beast. And this is what put it on the map. News sources all along the coast and in many other states reported on the strange killings, and nearly overnight, Buddenborough became a recognizable name. Although the creature appeared on the scene and wreaked its worst havoc in the 1950s, the beast still surfaces from time to time. In 2003, more farm animals and dogs began turning up with crushed bones, bite marks, and very little blood in their bodies. Strange tracks were also found near the bodies, leading to people believing that the beast was back at work. But it didn't just stop with dead livestock and pets. In 2013, a local family reported that their dog and three of their horses had been slaughtered in the night. The dogs had been barking, and when the son of the family, Tyler, investigated, he said that he had seen a strange creature in the shadows, running away from the body of the dead dog. The dead animals had been drained of blood, and given that the attack again happened in Buddenborough, people quickly linked the attack to the beast.
Shit.
What do you think, huh?
I think that motherfucker is fucked up. Why dogs? Why? What did they do? I know it's cat-like, and
I don't know. That maybe just something in their blood. that it like attracts it.
Maybe they like its blood more than other. I don't know, but that's just like, I got Chupacabra vibes
from that.
Like,
and you saw the pictures though. I mean,
yeah, it looks. I mean, I could say it looks similar to a Chupacabra. It a little bit. No,
it has some characteristics. Yeah.
What if, and just theorizing here, throwing this out there. What if it's like a different species, like a subspecies, you know, like Yeti, Bigfoot?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was thinking, too, is that it's a different bloodline of the Chupacabra. Because, so the Chupacabra that everybody knows doesn't have fur or anything like that.
No, it's like a skinless.
But it's from, like, Texas and
Mexico,
really warm climates. This is kind of a little bit of a wetter, colder climate.
Yeah.
So it could have adapted.
Yeah, it could have definitely adapted.
You know, through years of evolution, it could have adapted to have the fur.
God, that's so... That's weird, though.
Very interesting, huh?
Like, I like how, you know, and sometimes you get those certain lore or certain stories that are just, like, they're really similar, and so maybe, like, there's different versions or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
like you're talking about with Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, they're all different names, but they're the same creature, basically.
Yeah.
Just different regions.
God, that's so... God, that is kind of creepy. It's just a mutilated animal. Like, that's fucked up.
I know. That is a very fucked up thing. But when I was looking for stories in that state, that one really stuck out with me. And the length of it and the detail, I couldn't bring myself to cut it down. Like, I've cut down other stories before to fit and, you know, our time constraints and have a second story that goes along with it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do that this time.
That's fair. I got one.
You got one more?
I got one more for you.
Let's finish off the story sandwich.
The sandwich. All right, time for the other bun. So, have you ever heard of the legend of Stoll Cemetery?
The name sounds familiar.
So, Stoll is an unincorporated community in Douglas County, Kansas, in the U.S. Founded in 1857, the settlement was initially known as Deer Creek until it was renamed after its only postmaster, Sylvester Stoll. As of 2018, only a handful of structures remain in the area. Since the 1970s, the town has become infamous due to an apocryphal legend that claims the nearby Stoll Cemetery is possessed by demonic forces. Despite its falsity, this legend has also become a faucet of American popular culture and has been referenced in numerous forms of media. Hidden away in rural Kansas, the town was founded by Pennsylvania Dutch settlers who headed out west to avoid religious persecution in 1867. They built the old stone church in the center of the cemetery and used it to practice their Anabaptist religion until the start of the 20th century, when it was left abandoned after the roof fell in. The church then sat empty, crumbling into a ruin as the myths and legends surrounding Stoll grew and flourished. One of the many legends that surround the town, the most famous, is that Stoll is one of the seven gateways to hell. The story goes that on Halloween night and on spring equinox, according to some versions, at the stroke of midnight, a hidden stone staircase appears in the cemetery, descending into the dark depths of the underworld. The gateway is used by the devil, who enters the mortal world to walk the cemetery, rousing spirits and raising the dead from their graves for a night of unholy pleasure. Some say the church was used by Satanists and witches, covens to worship Satan and summon him to the cemetery. Others claim that origins of Stoll's supernatural reputation go much further than that in time and can be traced back to one grave in particular, the one very evil tree. According to local lore, there once sat a grave with the epitaph witch engraved upon it, and a tall pine tree which grew in the cemetery grounds was said to have been used for hangings, specifically the hanging of witches. Of course, the eerie name on the tombstone wasn't enough. It is said the bones contained in the grave were that of Satan's own child, conceived with a mortal witch. The child was born with horrible deformities and covered in thick wolf-like hair, and it is to the graves of the child and its mother that the devil visits each year when the portal opens. While much of this may seem like fanciful folklore, the hanging tree really did exist. But in 1998, the day before Halloween, it was cut down in the vain hoping of deterring tourists. It wasn't successful. Visitors to Stoll Cemetery often share strange stories of the church and how rain never falls within its walls, despite the building having no roof. And no matter the weather conditions outside, according to hundreds of eyewitness accounts, even during a storm, if you stood in the church, you would remain as bone as dry. Dry as bone. Sorry. Stoll has also witnessed its fair share of strange deaths. In the early 1990s, a boy was accidentally burned to death. A few years later, a man was found hanging from a tree. Both of these events took place near the cemetery on a stretch of road called the Devil's Road, which no longer exists but can still be found on old maps of the area. The cemetery made national news in 1993 when Pope John Paul II had his flight rerouted to prevent it from flying directly over the cursed grounds of the cemetery. By this time, the stories of Stoll had spread far and wide, attracting plenty of eager thrill seekers and paranormal enthusiasts. On Halloween night, huge crowds of curious tourists would line up at the gate hoping to catch a glimpse of the devil as he walked between the rows of graves. Whatever truth really lies behind the scary stories have been lost to time itself, but the legend lives on. I'd keep my distance if you're into superstitious at all. No denying the many strange experiences had by those who visit America's most diabolical cemetery. And that is the end.
Wow. The Pope rerouted his flight.
That's weird to me.
So that tells you something right there. That, I mean, I'm not superstitious, like really, really superstitious. I do believe in a lot of stuff. Religion not being one of them.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Pope believed it cold-heartedly enough to be like, no, we are not flying over that. You're going around. I don't care if it adds 40 minutes to an hour to my flight time. You're not flying over it. Go around.
But like, Pope, you're supposed to be doing this show today. No. Fuck the show.
You know, it's just weird to me.
That is
how much he believed in that. So to me, that kind of gives it some credibility. Because they don't just blindly just like, oh, that cemetery's got a ghost that wanders it all the time. We better not fly over that, you know? Like, they don't just do that.
No, they wouldn't, because, like, it's...
Of course, you'd never fucking get anywhere. You'd be going in circles because of all the cemeteries.
Whee! But... Whee! Do it again! Do it again! The Pope just hanging out the window. Ooh, look Whee! At it! You fucking peasants.
Oh, but yeah, it's just interesting.
Quick, pilot, let go of the wheel. Jesus, take it. Just fucking
take the wheel, Jesus.
You fucking Jeebus. Yeah,
he's
no.
He's just like, whee!
I found that to be
really... That's a very interesting story.
I thought that was really weird. I also thought that the devil visiting his weirdly deformed wolf-haired child with deformities,
yeah,
is also a very weird one. The other one, which was the witch one, and just the unknown staircase just appearing out of nowhere going down to hell, I think. Yes. That's very interesting, but it's just weird.
And the staircase thing, that reminded me of some stories. We'll be covering this, about these mysterious staircases that just show up.
Ooh.
They just show up in parks.
Hey, little boy.
And they're said to be demonic in nature. And
the stairs?
Not the stairs themselves, but the beings, the entities.
Sounds like some alien shit coming down.
No. But it is said that if you come across these stairs,
run.
You turn and run away. You do not try to climb them.
Why?
Because the evil beings that are attached to this realm that this staircase takes you to will grab you, kill you, and drag you off. And you will never be seen again.
Oh, shit. Well, fuck that.
Yeah.
I don't like stairs anyway.
There's a lot more right now. Does it look like I do?
Where's the elevator, beings? Yeah, you can kill me, but I'm walking. Come on, I'm walking. Carry me.
Where's the escalator or elevator?
The Pope flying over. Get with the times. Pope flying over. Look.
He's getting over the stairs.
Look at this fuck. Stupid.
That's what you gotta play.
Give me the Jesus blood. Just... Give me the blood of Christ.
That reminded me of those stories.
Is that going to be a future story?
Yes, it'll be.
So we got a little bit of spoilers.
Not telling. But, oh. Yeah.
It's going to be next week. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I got other stories going
on. All right, fine. I got other ones. Keep your secrets.
I don't even remember what I have. Like, I put so many together all at once.
Just lose track.
Oh, that's the one for next week. Okay.
She didn't hear anything.
It's good. It is a good one. It is not stairs, though. It is not. And the one after that's a good one, too. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God damn. Okay.
I got some good ones coming up, people.
We got some good shit going on in the future.
I got some good ones coming up. I'll dig up the stairs one, though.
I'm down.
And get that ready.
I'm ready for that one, because that sounds interesting. I'm ready. Well, you got anything else for me?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I think we talked about just about everything new going on and stuff. So, I don't have anything else, really, that I can think of.
Yeah.
If you don't have anything else,
then should we just?
I guess we're just done.
Right. Well, I'll see you later, you losers. I'll see you all later. Love you. Bye. Check out the new merch.
We're out, fuckers.